Welcome, friend. I am Merit Ansa, your dream coach and host of the Devoted Dreamers podcast. And I believe God has an unfolding plan for your life, a God-shaped dream just for you. But there are mountains to climb between you and that dream, like fear, comparison, imposter syndrome. And what if I mess this up? Or maybe the next right step is just evading you, or you're constantly feeling overwhelmed or stuck. I promise you are not alone. And that's why I'm here, to bring you stories from sisters in Christ who have been there and have made it out on the other end. Stick around and you'll find a new episode every Wednesday morning and once a month a solo where I will coach you through the stages of following our God-shaped dreams and provide fuel for the fire that's already burning in your heart. If you're ready to find some real traction for your dream instead of sitting on the sidelines, subscribe to the show and then meet me back here every week for transformational tools to help you release the lies so you can freely show up in the world with your gifts, leaning on God in your weaknesses, and serving His kingdom with the dream He's given you. Hello, Dreamer. We are finally back with Season 9. This is the Devoted Dreamers podcast, and you are listening to Episode 199 and my first interview of Season 9. That's a lot of nines. But can you believe this podcast turned 5 years old this week? I can't. Not at all. I mean, it feels a little bit like looking up one day and realizing your child is no longer a kid anymore. It's gone so fast. And these last 5 years have been such a gift. And I pray that whether you are new to the show, like maybe this is your first episode you found, or you're OG, that there's a gift here for you in every episode that will spur you on in your intimacy with the Lord and toward your God-shaped dream. Did I just say OG? That's kind of weird. Anyway, if you're just joining us for the first time, I'm so glad you're here for this new season. Just last week, I sent out my May dream letter, which I've been in the process of revamping. So if you're not on the list, I would love to share it with you. It's just a little bit of my ponderings and reflections of what it's like in the moment following my God-shaped dream with its twists and turns, ups and downs. And getting the dream letter, it's just a great way for us to connect. So if you want to get on that list, you can just visit the link bit.ly/dreamltr. I'll put that in the show description as well. Okay, here's what you have been waiting for since April. Today's guest, I have an interview with Katie McCowan. She is president of She Laughs Ministries, a writer for Proverbs 31 Ministries, and a national speaker. Through all of life's uncertainties and surprises, Katie has learned some things about living sure, even when the future is not. Katie and her husband Luke, a former NFL quarterback, are raising 6 children, and this conversation with Katie is so connected to my heart for you and the Devoted Dreamers ministry. It feels perfect as the kickoff for Season 9. I hear so many listeners share that they don't have time for their dream. Or you question whether you've heard God wrong because it's not quite turning out how you imagined it would, or it's not going as quickly as you thought it would. Or rejection has been so much a part of your story that it hurts to the core of your being. If any of that sounds like you, I want you to listen closely to this one. Katie and I have a great conversation, and we talk about what it looks like to have significant demands upon your time, whether that's children or a job or other commitments, and how you can still be faithful to your dream day after day. And we talk about how God is faithful all the time, even when we're not, and even if we can't see His faithfulness in the moment. It requires such a deep and growing trust in Him. Of course, we want to run ahead when we don't see the fruit we expect, or we question what we thought we heard from Him when He revealed the dream. There's so much of it that we don't see, but He sees it all. Therefore, our dreams require a deep and growing trust in the Lord. And why wouldn't we trust Him? He is the one who made us, who sees us, and who loves us as His own children. We can be confident in what He's doing, even when we cannot see it. This is such a theme throughout the conversation and through Katie's story. And I'm so excited that you're here today to listen to it. Thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to rate and review the show if you enjoyed this one. So let's get to the interview. Here is Katie McCowan with her God-shaped dream. Hey, devoted dreamers. Welcome to the podcast. I'm thrilled today to bring you Katie McCowan, who I really think has such a similar heart for Christian women and our God-shaped dreams. Katie, welcome to the Devoted Dreamers podcast.
I am so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this conversation because just as I learned more about you, I was like, we have a similar heartbeat. It's really special.
I love how you even say that God-shaped dreams. I just love the way you put that and describe it.
I feel like he gave me that whatever it is. just because, yeah, that it is something that he forms and puts in us. So anyway, I look forward to hearing about it from your perspective. Will you talk about yours, your God-shaped dream?
So, you know what? I think the easiest way to sum it up is three words: gather, grow, go. And what I think my God-shaped dream is just to gather women around God's word, equip them with his word, and give them everything they need to go into their worlds. And it's a lot of what you talk about. You know, when you talk about your God-shaped dreams, I've heard people, they'll say, when you're trying to discover that, what makes you cry? Or what makes you angry because you think that should not be that way? Those types of things. And, you know, when I started to try to answer that question, answer was kind of everything, you know, whether it was human trafficking or whether it was hungry children or whether it was, you know, injustices, or it all just bothered my spirit so deeply. And so it was as I began to realize I really wanted to do all of it. I wanted to solve all of it, which obviously I cannot, but it was in those moments that I felt like God began to develop his dream in my heart, which was uniting the church to just individually embrace our God-shaped dreams, and then go to our immediate circles of influences, go to our homes, go to our communities, go into our counties or our states, and live each day on purpose for his purposes. And so that is kind of how my God-shaped dream formed, was to say, you know, whether you're in Colorado or Texas or America or another country, I can't be all of those places, but I can gather you up, in, whether it's online or in a conference in your local church, and we can equip you with God's word, and then we can give you the tools that you need to go and be the light in your world. So,
oh, that's so beautiful, because you're right. I mean, I sense a little bit of that in me too. Like, oh, this, oh, that, oh, what about this? There's so many things wrong in the world, and we can't do it all on our own. And so what a sweet picture of him multiplying passions and desires in other women through the dream he's given you. So that's really cool. So talk about, you have a new Bible study, you do conferences, like how does this manifest for anybody who's maybe hearing about you and your ministry for the first time?
Right. So, you know, it started in my home. I'm a mother of six. And again, you know, we talk about God's timing, and sometimes it's almost laughable, because I remember when I did always feel like God had called me to write from the first year or two of my marriage, I really did feel the conviction that God had called me to write, but I didn't ever necessarily feel like I had gotten the green light or the sending in that until I was 8 months pregnant with my sixth child. And how much sense does that make? And so I thought, surely I am wrong. This makes no sense. There's no possible way I could do this. And so I'm praying about it going, I'm wrong, right, God? I've got this wrong. And then I go to my husband and I'm like, okay, so I'm kind of thinking, I know this sounds crazy. And he's like, you should do it. And I was like, what is everyone talking about? But I started a blog. You know, it was just, it wasn't like I felt that, you know, and then a month later I had a book deal and we published. I started a blog and it was really just being faithful to write. Honestly, sometimes after I had nursed the baby for the last time and the rest of the kids were in bed and I, and my husband was asleep too, you know, and those were, so it wasn't like I was crafting these just absolutely beautiful, well thought out blogs. I was just writing. I mean, that was really the beginning of that piece of it. And one of the kind of core things that I came across as I was blogging was how afraid women were, just how we kind of lived in fear in so many different ways, and really how that was keeping us. It was kind of keeping us tied down and keeping us from stepping into God's plans and purposes for even just every day. And so as that message or became more and more real in my life, that's where the conference started. So it started with a blog and writing, and then it became a ministry called She Laughs Ministries. And for several years, for 5 years, it's just been a women's conference that we do in partnership with a local church. And so we go into a community and the local church says, I want to do this. And so me and a couple of other speakers come in, and the conference is surrounding the verse in Proverbs 31, verse 25, that says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. Some translations say she laughs without fear of the future, which is where the conference and the ministry get its name, She Laughs. And then the Bible study is obviously on that topic as well. It's called She Smiles Without Fear. And so we did those conferences, and I kind of think out of it like this grassroots thing where, you know, we're not necessarily going into the biggest cities and gathering tens of thousands of women, but we get to go into a local church where women who are going to see each other at the grocery store or at, you know, getting fast food on a weeknight because you didn't have time to cook, you know? And so what's so great about doing these conferences in local churches is that it can continue when we leave because you all experience that together. So the accountability is kind of baked into the experience. And then you already know your community. So if God puts on your heart, when you take that time out to go to the conference, and if he starts to stir something in your heart where he wants you to go be the light, you can plug in somewhere immediately in your community. And so we have loved doing that. And then obviously 2020 happened and that was put on hold for a little while. And what that allowed us to do is think about how we can reach more women and specifically online, because a lot of us are spending more time online. And so we are really excited about something we're planning to launch this fall that will be a place where women can gather, grow, and go online. And so if you're interested, make sure you stay tuned for that announcement coming up towards the beginning of fall. But that 2020 has given us time to grow ourselves and to come to the Lord and seek him for new and creative ways to continue to help women gather, grow, and go.
I love that so much. Just your heart to pay attention to what's available and what's not. And we'll be staying tuned for fall. It's not that far away from when this is going to go live. So thanks for giving us that little sneak peek. And so I think you told me earlier that your youngest is in first grade.
That's right.
Okay. So this has been 6-7-ish years that this has been brewing and working in you. And will you talk a little bit about, you know, the times when it was hard, the struggles, maybe some of your own fears that you had to fight through to continue to say yes to this.
And you know what? I like how you put that, continue to say yes, because it was not always easy. It's still not. It's still not. And I will say that as a mother of six, I kind of have this easy excuse, to be honest, when it's hard. I mean, I've got so much ministry just to do with my six, like, let me just focus all of my attention there. And so Yes, it is. I just love for anybody listening, like, hold on to that. Continue to say yes. It's not a one-time yes. And y'all have probably talked about that plenty on this show. It's a continual yes. It's a daily yes. It's a, so for me, I will say that the time it started, I told you when it started, it felt like such weird timing. And then really the development of the writing and of the conference, it, quite frankly, it took longer than I wanted it to. And quite frankly, it still takes longer most of the time because I like to move. I like to go and do. My sweet husband laughs at me all of the time because I'll give him this brand new big idea and he'll say, are you launching tomorrow? You know, because that's kind of how I like to roll. And so I'm blessed to have people in my life who will be like, that's great. Let's talk more about it and let's think it through a little more so that I don't, that I will just go. I love to go and move and accomplish and do and then move on to the next thing. And so really what I felt like were delays. And honestly, there were absolute no's, just plenty of them along the way. They felt very discouraging. And what I think I would wonder is, have I heard God wrong? Am I pursuing the wrong thing? Because I will say, I thought if this is right, it should be easier. If I am doing what God has called me to do, then I just can't believe it would. I understand that there will be struggles and there will be speed bumps, but it shouldn't be this hard. It shouldn't take this long. Surely someone else would get on board by now as far as like the writing was concerned or something. And I'll tell you, what was so interesting is, I mean, I can tell you where we were on the road when I had yet another no on the Bible study, which actually at the time it was a book that I was pitching and it had gotten so close and I got the no. And I was in the truck next to my husband, Luke, and crying and just saying, Luke, I don't understand. I don't understand why God would keep telling me to do this. And it's still no. There are so many other things I could be doing besides putting all of my heart into something that isn't going anywhere. And honestly, at that time, it was a little bit of, I don't want to say quit for me, but a leaning away. And probably 6 months later, I was in a position to talk yet again about this now Bible study that God had put in my heart. He had, and I had written it and I hesitated and my husband kind of called me on it. And what he basically said was, is this something that you want to do or is it not? It's a yes or a no. There's no maybe here. And what he was asking me to answer is, Katie, is this something that you need to do to obey God? Yes or no? And he said, if the answer is yes, go do what you need to do. And if it's no, let's go home. And what that really was, that moment became kind of like a line in the sand, because what I was doing is I was almost just, what do you say, straddling the fence. So it was like, you know what, if it happens, that's great, that's fine. But the truth is the rejection had hurt so much, I didn't want to do it again. I had been rejected so many times that I didn't know if I could take another one. So what I wasn't doing was pursuing anymore. I was sitting there like, if it happens, I'm in. But I didn't pursue anymore. And what his question in that moment made me realize was that I had stopped pursuing. I hadn't quit, but I had stopped pursuing. And so I answered yes. And really with that yes, it was just kind of, it was more of a, okay, God, I trust you. Even if it's another rejection, even if it's another long set of days and months and years before, I'll continue to say yes. I'll keep pursuing. And that yes was what set in motion the Bible study. And so here we are, and I had waited all of these years. I had questioned God's timing. I had cried about it. I had hurt. I had wondered if I was getting it wrong. And then I wrote the Bible study in 2019 and turned it in December of 2019. And we scheduled it to publish on January 1st, 2021. And no one had any idea what 2020 would bring. And then here we have this Bible study, She Smiles Without Fear, coming on the heels of 2020. And I just had a moment where I was like, wow, God's timing is right, is it not? And really the beauty of His faithfulness to have it wait for that time. It's something that I try to remember every time I wonder. We won't always know, and that's okay. But God has a plan, and we can be faithful today, confident in what He's doing tomorrow. So I think that sums up some of the struggle, you know, the rejection, the delays, and ultimately the fear of just getting it wrong. That all of those things were a part of my journey up until this point. And there's still things that I continue to come back to the Lord and say, I know that I want to lean away because I'm afraid of rejection or getting it wrong. But my flesh wants to lean away, but my spirit wants to lean into You.
What a great story. I totally had chills when you like pieced that all together. Cause I mean, all the time, right? We don't see stuff like that in the moment. Like, can't see what God is doing. We didn't know 2020 was happening the way that it was until it was. And oh, I think the questions you asked about, have I heard Him wrong? Am I pursuing the wrong thing? I think that's so common that when we don't see the fruit that we think should come from this thing we believe God gave us, it's like, oh, it must be me. I must have screwed it up somewhere. And oh, what you just said about the lesson being faithful today and confident in His faithfulness tomorrow, it's such a reminder of our dreams really require such a deep trust. And again, like that saying, yes, again, and remembering who He is, that He didn't give us this to let us linger in this like uncertainty forever. Or the questioning, I think, draws us closer to Him if we let it, or it cannot. But what a good story. I really love that. Thank you. So, Katie, will you talk about just places in Scripture that you go back to for those reminders of God's faithfulness and kind of that call that we have to continue to step forward when we don't see the end of the road yet?
You know, there are just a few verses that I feel like God has brought across my eyes at just the right time. And one of them is Psalm 115:1 that says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name be the glory and honor." And I think the reason why I hold on to that verse is because it's such a needed reminder for me that it's not about me. And I can define success in a certain way, and I can say it's all going right based on what I think it should look like. But at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's about Him. And God will get His glory. He will get His glory. And so it's a relief to me when we stop. It reminds me to stop judging what is happening in whatever it is that I'm pursuing for the Lord, to stop judging that based on human standards, and to remember that this is all for His name. It's not for my glory, it's for His. And all I have to do is what He told me to do. And really on that piggybacks on the next verse, which is Luke 5:15 and 16. And so, and really it's 16, I believe, but the verses before it are all about all of these things that are going on. I mean, Jesus is healing people. His ministry is really taking off. And then verse 16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. And even just this morning, I was so convicted by that, because you see that over and over. That is not the only reference in scripture that talks about Jesus withdrawing to a lonely or desolate place. And it reminds me, a lot of us, when we're dreamers, we can dream up a lot. We can come up with all kinds of great ideas. But if it is not God's assignment, then we are spinning our wheels. And the only way that we can stay rooted in the God-shaped dream, in the God assignment, is to withdraw and spend time with Him. And the thing about that is, again, the relief and the freedom that comes when all we do is we go to God and say, okay, what do you have for me? You've given me this big dream. What do you want me to do today about that? Or I have this, this, and this. I could go these three directions. Which one do you want me to go? And it just removes so much burden from our shoulders to go and do and make happen. And those are just two of my favorite scriptures to say over and over again. Then they continue to convict me and really bring me back to the heart of why any of this began, which is the glory of the Lord and the will of my Heavenly Father.
Mm. That's such a great reminder, especially when it gets hard. And when you want to quit or go a different direction because this one doesn't seem to be working out. And it's funny, like as you were like leading into that, I'm like, what's the answer? What's the answer? Of course, the answer is to withdraw, get outside of yourself, rest in Him, listen. And we can't do that when we're cycling through it in our brains. So what other practical tools have really served you on this journey of saying yes to the things that you don't know the outcomes to?
Well, and I always love the practical, because we can feel really good about it, but there's practicality required. And so I will tell you, I actually, a few years ago, I had a good friend who kind of challenged me on this, because what she said, and it specifically dealt with writing. And I had been saying I was going to write a book for a long time. And I hadn't done it. And what she said was, Katie, if you're going to write a book, you're going to have to write. And she challenged me to look at my calendar and look at how much, answer the question, how much are you writing? Okay, so that's my example. God called me to write a book, look at my calendar, and find out how much time am I spending writing? And so for you, it may be something different, but you can fill in the blank. God called me to what? And then look at your calendar. How much time are you spending doing anything that would move you towards that? And when she told me to do that, what I ended up doing was, because again, I've mentioned this, I'm a mother of six, and I also write for Proverbs 31 Ministries. I have the blessing of writing for the First Five app. So I was doing that. I was being mother of six. I was, being wife to Luke. And I had, a few other things. And what I ended up doing was I used my digital calendar and I started to color code everything. And I started to log it all into my calendar. So if I was doing an after school practice, it went into the calendar and it went into the family color. Or if I was writing something for Proverbs, it went into the calendar and it went in on that color. And then I created the color for writing, for personal writing, like writing towards the Bible study. And it was convicting, because at the end of the day, there wasn't anything on the calendar in that color, maybe an hour. And so what that led me to is, if I'm actually going to do this, it's going to have to get on the schedule the same way a dentist appointment gets on the schedule. The same way church on Wednesday night gets on our schedule every week. It is going to have to be something that I look on my schedule and I say, from this time to this time on this day, I'm going to write. And you know, it grew. It didn't start where I was writing 5 days a week for 2 hours a day, or even 3 days a week for an hour a day. But the commitment to do it at all, the commitment to prioritize it like other appointments, was what it required for me to move in that direction, to begin. And as I began, it gave it room to grow. And so to me, that's really the most practical thing that I did and continue to do. I still have to put it in there, and I still do the color coding thing to help me. And here's the other thing I realized. I realized that I had more, believe it or not, I realized I had more time than I thought I had. Because what was happening is that I was spending 10 minutes here and 10 minutes there doing nothing, scrolling social media or sitting on the couch or just piddling. You know, that's what we say in the South, piddling, or maybe that's just what my grandmother said. And so what I realized is if I didn't spend, I call it leaking time, because it's so subtle that you don't even realize you're losing it. But if you put it all together, you gain like a half hour or an hour a day, and you can do something with that. So it also helped me just with time management to go, you know, I could batch this group of 10 minutes here, there, and everywhere. And I could do something with that I'm currently not using it for anything productive.
That's really helpful. I know, back when we used to wait in line places, I would try to have like, this is my 15-minute task, that if I have a 15-minute wait for whatever, that I can do, like write out a title for a podcast episode or whatever it is. But I love that, because my other question was going to be like, what else did you have to say no to with six kids and a husband and other stuff, like to find those hours?
And I love that you bring that up. Now, remember what I said about I have this just ginormous idea, and my husband's like, are you launching tomorrow? So another piece of me is like, I can do it all. And so my sweet, I just love the way that I told Luke the other day, I was like, you manage me so well, because he's just so gentle in the way he reminds me about things. But he will always say, I love that, Kate, I love that idea. I love that thought and direction. What are you going to say no to then? And there have been some hard no's. There have been some things, you know, my husband played in the NFL for 13 years. And during that time, we were active in an organization that would have a conference for professional athletes and their spouses. And we would be small group leaders at that conference. And we just loved doing it every year. And I remember when we had to say no, and I hated it. I wanted to keep doing that. And it was a hard conversation that Luke and I just had to sit down and like you said, with every yes, there has to be a no somewhere. And so it was something like that, where again, it wasn't that it was a bad thing. It was just that we were moving into a different season. So that had to become a no. And so there's those bigger no's that you, as you move into a different season in following this God, in pursuing this God-shaped dream, where maybe the bigger things of one season remain there. And then there are the smaller kind of everyday no's. And so for me, I watch very little television. I don't have time for it. I've decided I don't have time for that. And so that's a no for me during the day. And it can be as simple as that. And it doesn't mean give up every hobby you have, but it just means that you're a little more deliberate with your time. Okay, so I'm going to say this too. I will oftentimes, so I'm working from home right now, and I don't think I've ever actually not worked from home since I've been a mom, but it's a no to all the little things that I could do around the house while the kids are gone. You know, my house, if you ever come visit for me, it is not immaculate. You will find probably a crushed Fruit Loop on the floor somewhere, because I have chosen not to, now don't get me wrong, I wash our clothes, I fold them, we do the dishes, I also have paper plates and even paper bowls right now, you know? So it's these sorts of things where I've said no to some things that I could say yes to, but I say no to that for the moment so that I can focus my attention somewhere else at that time. And that probably, I hope that that is understood the way I'm the way I meant it to be. But sometimes it's the pressure of what you should do from wherever that comes from. I call them our shoulds and supposed tos. And it's just, we have this inner talk that's like, you should, your house should look like this, or this should be that way, or you're supposed to. And we don't really even know why we think we should or we're supposed to. And sometimes those might be things that we need to pay a little more attention to. And they might be things that we could say no to because it's not coming from the Lord. It's not that we're disobedient if it's a no. So
that's so affirming to hear you talk about, because as you're talking about the Fruit Loop, I'm like, dust bunnies or crackers, there's all kinds of things that, yeah, I have to like shut my eyes to it to not stop every time the floor needs sweeping or vacuuming. It's like that I would be doing that 24/7. I mean, I only have two kids, so
I could sweep every half hour on the hour. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And so you take the little things that aren't hugely significant that maybe someone else could do, you know, and you take that time. That's helpful. I'm right there with you. And I have clean laundry and sometimes it gets folded. So
I know.
Oh, wow. So I don't want to forget, you were going to offer a copy of your new Bible study. So we're going to do that in my Devoted Dreamers Facebook group. So will you just kind of give us a little snippet again of who that's for and who's really going to benefit from getting a chance to get a copy?
Right. So She Smiles Without Fear is a tool, a Bible study to help us trade the what ifs of tomorrow for God's purposes today. And I lay out five steps that we can do every day so that we develop this pattern in our lives of not fearing the future, but being present today. And these five steps are things that I walked through personally with the Lord. These are things that He taught me as I became more and more aware of what fear of the future was taking from me in the present. And I became more and more hungry to be different and to live in this joy of the Lord that the scriptures talk about, and to live this life to the fullest that Jesus said He came to bring. And so that's who the Bible study is for. And I'm so excited that we get to give one away.
Oh, thank you so much. It sounds like it would be great for pretty much anybody who's got a dream and maybe struggles with a little bit of fear, like we all do at some point. Well, Katie, I've loved getting to know you and hearing about your ministry and the work that you're doing. I can't wait for fall 2021 to hear what you guys are going to reveal then. But before we go today, will you just kind of summarize for us, as you look back on these last many years of saying yes to this God-shaped dream, how has the Lord transformed you in the process of pursuing it?
Every time I've said yes to a God-shaped dream, it's always been something bigger than me. It's always been something that I don't have all of the answers for. And quite frankly, it's always been something that causes me to go, how can I do this? And so the transformation process is realizing that I can't do it, and that the Lord can do things in me and through me that I could never do apart from Him. It's create a humility in me that I don't think I would have otherwise, because He brings me places that I can't handle apart from Him. And then He does things that I could never do on my own. And so He has created and is still it's a work in progress, but a humility that I'm so thankful for, and that I don't know if I would have had otherwise. Because to be honest, if I don't go with God in his God-shaped dreams, I'll probably stay in a safe world that I have all figured out, and I'll lean on myself. But when I go with him, I have no other choice but to lean on him, look to him, and wait for him.
I'm so honored you listened to this episode today, but don't let the conversation end here. If you have a thought, a question, a comment, or even a topic you want to explore further, let's connect over in the Devoted Dreamers Facebook group. We are building an encouraging community of like-minded women because we were never meant to do this alone. You can find the group at bit.ly/dreamergroup.